Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Super excited. This is a little unusual. It's a Friday morning in beautiful Tennessee. I hope the weather is beautiful there, Dr. Harris. But it's killer here. I love this kind of midday recording, so this will be fun. Again, special guest co-host, Dr. Jeff Tremblay.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be back.
I'm glad to have you back. I don't know which one will air first. So this may be your inaugural one, or it may be your co-hosting one,
okay,
your guest one. You never know.
I'll just say that every time.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. Okay. Even better, a returning guest to the show, Dr. Brian Harris. Welcome back, Doc.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited to be back. This will be great.
This is going
to
be really fun. Okay, so we briefly discussed about this earlier, but just to kind of bring our listeners up to speed, because I want to take as little time of me talking as possible. I wanted both of y'all to come on because I want to hear, we talked a little bit about this, and I looked, it was almost a year ago. That's what's so crazy that we talked. Back when the podcast was young, you believed in us, so thank you for coming on. We appreciate that. We made it. We've made it almost a year now. And we talked a little bit about the Smile Virtual Consults, what you were doing to attract new patients with social media, and kind of this organic new approach that you were doing with cosmetic dentistry. Fast forward a year, I want to hear kind of where that's going. And then we bring Jeff into the fold. And Jeff, we're going to have to, at some point, we're going to have you tell your whole story. We may not be there yet. I don't know when you're ready to tell your story, but your story is so good. But now where you're at in your story is a new phase of starting your practice, you know, going out of the gate saying, I'm going to be fee for service. I'm going to do cosmetic dentistry. You know, I'm going to be a niche practice. And what I'd love to do is kind of let y'all have a discussion where I just kind of be a fly on the wall a little bit and butt in as I normally do and just hear what it's like to kind of someone who's done it, someone who's going through it and jump right in. So why don't we do it this way? Jeff, why don't you update Doc here on a little bit of kind of where you're at now and how you got to this right now. And then after that, maybe Dr. Brian, that you'll kind of give us an update and we'll just rock and roll from there.
I think that's perfect.
Boom. Jeff, the floor is yours.
Okay. Where to start? I guess I'll start halfway through and say I've been practicing in downtown Nashville for about 2.5 years. And before that I was in other areas of Nashville, but when I came down to work downtown, I decided I really needed to incorporate photography into the practice. And I flew a couple Venezuelan dentists up to teach me, Dr. Eduardo and Jesus, when the pictures really matter. Started diagnosing and really planning through the pictures with my patients for restorative cases. And I've been, through the social media, I've acquired a lot more of the cosmetic patients and have slowly built systems around receiving them, giving a superior product and predictability. And I left an old office, started my own in November 2017, so I'm not at the 6-month mark yet. And it's going great. I've got a photo studio in my new office. I've got a lot of things built around supporting that type of practice. And it's just been really crazy because I'm a new business owner. So I find out that I'm also a banker, a lender, a boss, yeah, a dentist. And it's been really good. I mean, besides those broad strokes of how I came to be doing a lot of these cosmetic cases and where I am, I guess, is there anything else you think I should divulge?
No, I think it's killer.
Okay, good.
Awesome. Well, hey, I will start off by saying, you know, for the doctors listening, you know, we're going to be talking more about some of the cosmetic stuff of dentistry, but you could substitute that for implants, apnea, whatever it is.
Totally agree.
That you'd love, because we are practicing in a time in dentistry that's just absolutely insane. So I'll give you a quick update on the the virtual consult stuff. But interestingly enough, I want to spend our time talking about this because I think the doctors will get the most out of, you know, figuring out how to get from where they are to where Jeff is now. And so Smile Virtual Consult, at the end of the day, the concept is one where in dentistry, we always are trying to get new patients to come in the office just so we can get in front of them and talk to them about treatment options in hopes that they'll move forward with treatment. So what this virtual consult process is done, it's flipped it completely upside down where now I get in front of people in their own home, on their couch, on their time, with no strings attached, with no fear about finances, about being embarrassed about their smile. And I just allow them to see what's possible in dentistry. I quote fees to them before I've even seen them in the office. And it allows me to just build relationships with people in such a strong way that when they do come in, like I know if they're in my office, they already know what it's going to cost. They already know what options we've talked about. So case acceptance is almost 90%. And so that concept is just that with social media. I mean, I haven't taken a new patient from our practice in almost a year and a half. Every single new patient I've gotten has been through virtual consults and social media. And so,
brilliant. Sully, are you recording this right now?
We're recording. That's what I keep making sure. Like, everything is good, right? No, we're recording. Things are good. Okay. The thing that jumps out to me right away that's so untraditional is the quoting the fees thing, right? This transparency. I freaking love that because, honestly, I think that that's what people are craving right now. You know, this whole idea of, well, you don't want to tell them their fee when they call. You know, you're going to try to, it's a little bit, if someone calls and want to know your implant fee, tell them your implant fee or your fee. Like, I love that you're delving in and just being transparent with patients. I love that.
Well, have you ever shopped for something like a, I don't know, like a lawnmower and you look for a quote and they won't give it to you till you call them?
Yeah.
It's annoying.
No, it's super annoying.
Yeah, you go to another company that you could find the price for. So.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's so different, you know, because, and even if your fees are higher. So I did a virtual consult this morning, patient from Vegas. She was quoted. So I'll just talk numbers just because I think it's important. You know, we're talking about money. So let's talk about money. My fees right now are about $1,500 a tooth. And some guys will look at that and be like, dude, that's too low. Like you should be charging way more. Others are like, oh, that's a nice crown or veneer fee. For me, it works in my practice. It's a competitive fee. I can be super profitable doing that. And it's all I do now is smile cases. So it's fun. And I set up that fee and I'll probably up that here in the next 6 months or so, but that's my fee. So this patient messaged me, did a virtual consult. And so I'm recording for her, but she was quoted $1,100 a tooth in Vegas. And she was hoping my fees were less. And what's crazy is I can sit and record into the screen, just like I'm talking to you guys and say, listen, my fees, you know, I know you're reaching out, hoping my fees are going to be less, but I'm actually more expensive, but here's why. And I can go through all of that with her. And if I decide I still want to give her a break or give her, you know, use my modeling discount that I give sometimes, I can do that. But the relationship that's built, you'll see that a lot of times it's not necessarily about money. It's about value.
Right.
And trust, wow. You know, and connecting with people is huge.
So I'm going to keep going.
Yes, keep going.
So let me tie that now into virtual consults. Insane social media. We could talk for days just about that. What I think it all comes down to, though, for the millennial dentist is, you know, I've been in practice, I'm going on my 14th year now. And when I first came out of school, like you had to do your time. Like you went to all the institutes, you had to build your resume, you had to prove over time that you were old enough to do this type of treatment and that you were experienced enough. And what's different now is this idea of social proof. You know, you could be a year out of school and have an Instagram account that has like, I mean, Jeff, how long have you been out of school, Jeff?
I finished in 2013, so about 5 years.
Yeah, so 5 years out of school, but you look at Jeff's stuff and I'm like, whoa, I need to up my game. Like his photography is insane. The results he's getting is insane. So how can you argue that a guy 5 years out of school that's proving it socially every single day, not just his best cases, but all the cases he does, he's doing it every single day. So resumes are dead. You know, this idea of like having a big resume. No, it's proving that you're enough of an artist and you're skilled enough to do the type of work.
How does that work where with like social media and stuff that you know you're marketing to patients versus other dentists versus like, I mean, is that just through the social media machine? I mean, are there techniques and ways people can kind of take and listen to this? Okay, well, okay, say I want to start building my, it's because it's a digital resume really is what it is, honestly. You know, is how do I do that in a way that starts to attract new patients? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so if you look,
selfishly, actually, I may be asking.
If you look at Jeff's page or if you look at my page, one of the things that we have in common is that we market to the patient. So I think there's a big difference in marketing to dentists and to the patient. So if I was marketing to dentists, what I would be posting is a lot of procedural videos, a lot of really close-up, fancy, artistic videos of teeth. I mean, those guys out there doing some insane stuff. But my belief is that what the patients want to see in one snapshot is transformation, before and after, like what it looks like, and be able to scroll and see a ton of those in a row and see other testimonials. And so my page is very, very specific on, I market to the patient, but I also market to the types of patients that I'm seeing. You know, I joked last time, is because you said, hey, do you only see like tens in your office? I've never seen like
a I told you, I was like, Doc, you have the most attractive patients in the world. Like, how do you get, it's kind of like you. I was like, are you only attracting to 10 patients?
No. So I won't tell you my response because then it made me, no, anyway, no, but the reason that my posts are the way they are is because that's the demographic I am marketing to. I do a lot of cases on, you know, middle-aged men, older men, you know, that turn out really nice. I purposely don't post them, not because I don't want to attract more, but those are the guys, they're not necessarily on social media. They're the guys that came through referrals from other friends. So I'm just more specific on, I market to who I want to attract.
Well, and I would totally agree with that. You know, we talk about a lot about the changes in the dental landscape as far as marketing, where we're getting new patients and whatnot. I think that's a big one. The days of, and this might segue into the kind of this niche thing, but the days of marketing as like a general practice and like, you know, these big mailers and things that attract families, that's really starting to go down. I feel like your marketing is so much more, the more targeted it can be and the more niche it can be, the more effective the marketing is, because you may be throwing a smaller net, so to speak, but the net is way more, it's way tighter. Like you're more likely to catch those ones that make sense versus throwing this giant net out to catch new patients. Well, are those even the new patients that need the type of dentistry you want to do or you can do? I mean, that's kind of a big thing, I think, too. Anywho, I hand it off to you.
Yeah, well, I think you've done a great job with your page. And one of the ways that I think, I'll just tell you, last year or a year and a half ago, I had a couple law students ask me if at my old practice, they asked me if I clean teeth or if we clean teeth as well. And I said, yeah, of course, we're a dental office. And they thought, well, we thought you only did veneers, aesthetics and all that. And sure. I'm thinking, and these are law students. I couldn't believe it. So you got to kind of be careful on how you push certain things or maybe, you know, but that was a heavy PPO practice and we needed, well, I need new patients now as well. You know, I think everybody does to some degree, but it's sometimes I'm surprised at the feedback I get from patients, or friends who follow my Instagram. So you just have to kind of think like the masses sometimes.
How do you, Doc, respond to that a little bit? Cause that's, I see where you're going with it. It's almost like you don't, you know, at your point, you can, that's the goal, right? Is to really to just attract these new patients. That's all you want to do. Whereas I see your point at this point, you're wanting to build to that. But I would argue though, that you still should continue to market in a way that attracts 80% of the dentistry that you want to do.
Sure.
Versus that. What are your thoughts on the differences there?
Yeah, I think, so I'm going to address two things. The boutique style practice, you know, if the doctor was listening to this, that has been in practice 20 years, there was a time where those guys that went very niche in boutique lost it all because the economy tanked and all of a sudden, like a lot of these big cases dried up. The difference though at those times is think about how you would attract those patients. It was 10, 15 grand a month being spent in magazine ads and all these different things to get the patients. So the marketing expenses were super high. so you kind of live and die by the big case. The difference now is that, to me, it's more an issue of personal branding versus just branding. Like, Jeff should be personally branding himself. Jeff is like the dentist that people want to see. And that's done with social media. And it's easily done by saying, like, you know, check this out. I had two attorneys ask me the other day if I even did teeth cleanings. Of course we do. Like, check it out. This is my hygienist. It's still throwing some of that stuff in because Jeff's building Jeff. You know, Brian's building Brian, so that if the market does go down, there's still people out there that are going to want their smiles done, or they're going to want higher level care. But instead of having to attract them by spending a lot of dollars, you just want them to remember back, who was that guy I saw, you know, 2 years ago on Instagram, and look you back up that way. It's just, it's a very different model. One is like long lasting personal branding versus, you know, short term, high dollar marketing.
Absolutely.
Well, and two, what I love about it is, I don't know if I talked about this, we did some in-office training kind of on consults and with vision and trying to figure out our why, that kind of thing as a practice. And one of the things that that Benji told our team was, he said, a lot of times it takes people, Mercedes did a study back in like the 70s. And basically what they found is that it took people on average 8 basically interactions before they were willing to buy something, right? So if they were going to come up with the money to buy a Mercedes and do this, it took them on average 8 different interactions, whether that was an ad, meeting someone that had a Mercedes, seeing the Mercedes. And Dad and I kind of joke about it all the time, because it used to be where if someone wanted to buy dentistry or do dentistry, that maybe they would get a referral or they would see you, but then they'd have to come in and meet you. You know, now what we're seeing is, just because of what you said, that, you know, they're seeing the pictures on the feed scroll up every day. So they start thinking, huh, I like these pictures. Huh, they start looking at their teeth. Well, maybe I should do my teeth like this. So that by the time they call you, they're ready to buy, right? I mean, that's the reality, is by the time you do the virtual consult, they come into your office, they're probably making a decision that day, or they're coming to do treatment. There's not even an in-office consult, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times, for the people who travel out of town, you have to be careful there, because you still have to do the consult. You have to, like, legally make sure you're not doing anything that you shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
I mean, I can tell you there's been very, very few instances that somebody came, because usually by photos, and after that initial one, I'll say, okay, send me more information, send me the x-rays you have. But yes, the difference is they're watching, determining when the right time is for them to buy. And so the key is just, it's, you know, some people are like, dude, why do you post your name on every single picture? Well, for me, I want them to see the great transformation, but then I want them to see my name over and over again.
And associate that. Gosh, that's good. I don't do that. I need to start doing that.
But you should, and here's why. I mean, for example, your implant stuff, phenomenal. I mean, you're doing some insane stuff. And the great thing is, there's patients out there. Yeah, the demographics are a little bit different. There's not as many patients on social media that need implants, but I'll tell you what, that's changing. There's a lot that are now. And when you post something like a transformation and your name is like solely, I mean, especially you've got a name that's recognizable and easier to personally brand yourself. Any doctor out there, if you're not doing that, it's great, but it's just a photo. You know, if you do the photo and the name, it's, you're branding yourself. That's a key.
Well, I need to do that. And I've dropped the ball on that, because yeah, I've tried almost market more to the dentist than I have my practice one. I need to kind of figure out a way to do that, to where my energy is not having to be doubled.
I think it works both ways, though, if you're honest about it, because even if you are reaching out to other dentists, which I like to do on occasion in posts, I talk about the materials I use to get from A to B. My last one was actually exactly about that. And if you're marketing to other dentists, I think people can see that and appreciate it puts you up on a certain bit of credibility, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So,
and I'll interrupt, because like, you're spot on. It's, you're building your personal brand as a key opinion leader, really. And so the difference is just, it's just time. So for me now, it's easier, you know, the reason it's easy for me to say, well, I just market to patients. Well, it's just easier because I'm speaking 24 to 30 times a year. And like,
you don't need that anymore.
I don't much need that anymore. I mean, you always need that to keep your brand strong, but you guys are in your prime right now, where you're going to start getting more recognition from the dental companies, from peers, you know, you need to establish yourselves as key opinion leaders. You're that next generation coming up. And so I would say, you know, if you have any desire to do that, yeah, don't just go all patients. Like, get yourself seen in the dental world too. I think that's massive.
You know, real quick, before we talk about any other specifics, I think it's a good time to say, if you don't have a podcast, if you don't have a DSLR camera, if you're not well-versed in Photoshop or Lightroom, then that should, in my opinion, be a priority. Because if you don't have the tools, you know, if you don't know the English language, you're not going to be writing sonnets. So, you know, you got to get armed with some of these things you may not have graduated from dental school with, like the photography. And
I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
Well, and for a young dentist, I mean, because we're talking a lot about it from a marketing standpoint, but gosh, taking pictures makes me such a better dentist.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
And it holds you to a higher level of accountability. So, dude, I can't agree with you more about how that should be that $3,000, whatever. You know, I don't think it's that much. I don't know how much they cost to put a minute. So I bought a new one, but that they just they need to have that in their toolbox for sure.
I caught a canted smile from a picture right before we kind of initiated a case. And I'll send you that case. The picture's crazy. And if it weren't for that photo, it would have been a big headache, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for sure.
Oh yeah. Cause you get that prep design off even just a little bit. And let's say you go more conservative, you don't break contact. Well, now all of a sudden you have a great final result and everything's.
Yeah.
I can send you a lot of before and afters like that from my early days, but you don't know until, I mean, that's the way you learn. You have to see it on a bigger scale.
All right, Jeff, this is your opportunity. I'm stepping out.
Well, let's
jump into it.
So I would like to ask you a little bit about the actual X's and O's of how you get patients on the phone. Do you always record these videos? Do you have, say, office hours where you market that if they can call to schedule a virtual consult between these hours? Like, could you kind of run us through a bird's eye view?
Yeah. So I love talking about this part because this is the genius of what we've created and why it works so well is it is what you call a store forward consult. Meaning, like this morning before, I'm not seeing patients today, but I came in this morning and I've been backed up and I did 9 virtual consults. I don't interact with a patient. I take their information. I put it into a whole slide deck. I customize the before and afters. I customize a message to them. And then I sit down, I hit record, I get in front of the screen, and I just say, listen, Jeff, like, thanks for reaching out. I know this is not the typical way to do a consult, but, you know, let me tell you why I love it so much. Like, you know, being able to just sit and share with you, like, the 3 things you want to know, which is, can I help you? You know, what's the process? How many teeth do you need to do? And what's it going to cost? Like, that's what everybody wants to know. So that's why I'm here today, is just share that with you. And by the time you're done watching this, you'll step away knowing if the timing's right for you in your life right now to move forward. And if it is, I'd love to work with you. And if it's not, like, now you have this that you can share with your spouse, with your family. Now you have this video that you can come back and look on as time goes by. And when the timing is right, like, reach out. Like, let's create something awesome together. I mean, it's like there's no time spent with me trying to interact with them and answer questions. I can put it all out there. I can put my fees there. I can let them experience me and build that trust. And, you know, what it does from there is, you know, the virtual consult is kind of like, you know, it's like the sparkling star on top of the Christmas tree. It's like the one thing that everybody sees that, but it's really the gimmick. Like anyone can record a virtual consult. Where the magic happens is it's all the behind the scenes. So I have the whole automated CRM platform behind the scenes that automates the process and the flow through so that nobody ever falls out of the system. But then also, you know, it follows up, it's automated scheduling, it's automated links to care credit applications. It's all done when the consult gets sent. It's all done in a very complex format to where they have everything they need to decide if they want to move forward or not.
Are you delegating any of this, or is your team doing, like, are they like when you put the PowerPoint together or keynote together and that for the, to go over the patient, are they doing this? Are you doing this, or how's that taking up your time?
So the way I've done it, I mean, I formed a company around it now, and we've got about 30 doctors using it. But the way it's set up is we, you know, if you try to do this all on your own, the time it takes to put the slides together, to create the logo, watermark, you know, every little detail about how to post on social media, when to post, how to crop your photos, what are the best tools. I mean, it's the reason you've had these guys come out and teach you how to do photography is because it's what they do. It's what they're good at. And so you can, in one day, you know, it took them a long time to learn. And so we automate the whole process for you. So as a doctor, you sit down, you open up, I have my to-do folder. Every doctor has their to-do folder, and they get a notification if there's one in there. They go and open it, and they take out the slides they don't want to use. They add the fees in, and then they hit record, and they record. And when they hit stop, then it gets sent off. So that's what makes it so great from a doctor's side is the time involved, very, very minimal.
Talk more about this aspect of the things and how you've kind of built this around it. And, you know, how is it? Is it primarily more of a back-end software style, or are you helping try to create a network of doctors that do this type of dentistry that then people can see, okay, well, they're in my region or my area, or kind of talk about that a little bit.
So, I mean, the idea was to create a network. The idea is to create a network of doctors all over the world that do dentistry at a certain level, that know how to connect with patients, but that represent the brand well. So, you know, we're in Scotland and London and Canada, and we're all over the US now, but the guys that I brought on board are like quality docs that really know what they're doing, but that will represent the brand well. And the idea to continue to grow that to a point where, you know, like we have a private Facebook group where we all post regularly and it give doctors information about how to do giveaways on social media, how to do, you know, all these little things that make a difference on, you know, how to convert more virtual consults, how do you use this for when a patient cancels, how to cool off an upset patient, how do you use it when you see a big case out of hygiene, but you only have 3 minutes to tell the patient, well, no, don't talk to them. Like, get their email and record a virtual consult, send them to them that night. I mean, there's all these different uses of it. And but that's the idea, is to grow a network of docs that enjoy practicing dentistry this way, that want to be a little bit more of a niche practice, and change the way that we talk to patients about treatment, change the way that we, what I call, you know, treatment planning. No, like when you have people come to your office as a new patient and they've already seen you and they've already heard you talk about all the awkward stuff, the money, the options, like it's magical what happens when they sit down, because, you know, right now the awkwardness of like, so tell me about yourself. Well, oh yeah, I have kids too. It's like, it all goes away because you sit down and they're engaged. They already know all that's already been done. So you can just like get to business.
Your mind's getting blown over here, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely churning. You know, one thing the way that I'm doing my consults now, I'm just trying to think of the differences between them and between what you've described and how I'm doing it. But I think mine are a little bit too involved, I guess, because the first meeting is face to face and it's interactive. I could tell you about it quickly if you'd like, how
process. Talk about how you do it.
So somebody comes in and schedules for a cosmetic consult. My front desk kind of interviews them to find out if this is something more of like a veneer case, or, you know, if they just want whitening. So if it's a case where we think it's somebody who wants pictures, wax up, a real smile design, we have them come in, fill out paperwork. I interview them and speak with them and just in the chair. I take a look at them, do an exam. I then pull them into the photo lab, the photo studio, and we take a series of photos. And that's kind of a fun time to interact with them and be less of the doc and more of just somebody taking pictures of them. And then when I finish with the photos, my assistant takes the patient into the op and takes impressions. We do bite. And then by the time they're done in the op, they come back to my office and I've uploaded the photos and put them in a series. And I also have like another slideshow that I show other cases. And, it's really beneficial that stage, because when the patient's sitting there with me looking at their photos, it's a third person perspective. And we're talking about, you know, the photos and what we see. And it's almost like they can detach themselves and just tell me what they think about what they don't like or how many teeth they need to change. And it's good, but I also feel like it's very heavy. You know, it's a heavy day. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. And a virtual consult, I think, could certainly whittle those down to the more serious patient. It's a way of screening too, I guess.
Yeah, but I love what you're doing, because you know how many guys, you know how many doctors, guys and gals do that? Like, nobody does that. So don't change that, but change the mentality a little bit from the standpoint of what would it look like when they schedule if you sent them a customized video and said, listen, I just want to introduce myself. Like, when you come into my office, like, this is going to be a very different experience for you, because this is what we do. And you have pictures or you have video of the process happening with a photo shoot, or, you know, and you just say, like, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put you through this process. But the reason I'm reaching out now is because I want you to start thinking about the three things that everybody always wants to know and they always wants to try to figure out is, like, how do I make this work within my budget? How many teeth should I do? And, like, what feels right for you right now? Because, and then go through your before and afters, give them proof right then that you know what you're doing, because it's going to increase the number of people that actually show up for those consults. But then say, like, hey, after that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up your photos. Now you've seen the type of work I can do, and we're going to talk about what we can do for you. And you're going to decide right then, like, how many teeth you want to do, because you already have an idea of what it's going to cost. So the difference is you just take what you've done, but you take it to a new level now where they're coming in ready to buy at that point. And the worst case scenario, let's say they're expecting it's $500 a tooth. Like, you want to find that out now. You've done an hour and a half with them, and that's not a bad thing. You just want to find that out now, because if it gives them time to process that, and then if they still show up, like, they've had time to talk to a spouse, or if they come expecting five and they're like, no, it's 2,000 tooth, they're like, then they're just embarrassed and they leave and they don't do anything. So don't change what you're doing. You can make it a little less heavy and you can make it less stressful on you, because they'll tell you what they can afford. They'll tell you how many they want to do. So then you can dial it in. You're not trying to guess anymore. That would be my take on it.
Brilliant.
I freaking love it. And I love it even for not only like that, like y'all's practices type things, but even us lowly, you know, PPO, jack of all trade dentist over here. I like this stuff because, like, I'm thinking, you know, we're doing the same thing now with, like, taking, you know, I want all of them to take pictures, and we get nice pictures and go over that and kind of have this more of like this comprehensive approach. And I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes in our practice, when we do that, it either overwhelms patients. They're not expecting that to happen. They're expecting to be there for 45 minutes to get their teeth cleaned and, you know, talk to the doctor for 5 minutes. And so I think even just for my office, if I would record a video that kind of said, like you said, a little bit about welcome to the practice, this is who we are, and this is what to expect in your first visit. We're going to take some photos. We want to do comprehensive care. We want to, you know, really start to give them this full picture that we're going to be looking at. You know, are you missing teeth? Do you have cavities? Do the aesthetics matter? And all these different things, so that when they come in, they're kind of already maybe excited or thinking about, like you said, you know, I have always wondered if I should fix this missing a tooth or whatever. So I am, like, loving it.
Well, so maybe at the end of the video, Sully, you could say, and if you're still interested, fill out your patient paperwork.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No, but so the reason it works so well for a general practice, one of the most awkward things to do is, like, you see somebody, big old diastemas and all the teeth, but, like, one of my mentors always taught me, like, no, you need permission to talk about elective procedures. So what it does is it gives you permission. Just say, like, hey, listen, you let us know, like, we have a general practice, but we do a lot of this too. And so there's going to come a time when I ask you in your visit, like, do you want to focus just on health, or do you want to know a little bit more about what we do? You'll be astonished at how many people are like, no, like, yeah, tell me about that, because they won't feel the pressure. They don't feel like they're being sold. That's just part of what you do.
Well, and I can even add a form in there that said, like, you know, at the end, be like, you know, hey, if we'd love for you to kind of fill out this kind of, like, entry form about, you know, take a look at your teeth and, you know, are the things you don't like or do like. So then you kind of can tell if they come in with nothing, well, it kind of tells you something. But if they come in and they've listed out, here's six things I don't like about my smile. Exactly. That's like free permission to, yeah, let's jump in and talk about these things. Okay, I'm done. I think I can go home now. This is beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I have one question for both of you. So when y'all were talking about that, the one thing that came to my mind is, how do we balance talking about dentistry and science from a dentist perspective versus what the patient wants to hear? And because what I found as a young dentist, a lot of times I would talk myself out of things because I would start talking about prep design or, you know, how the implant's going to torque in, and you know, implants immediate stability, and like, you know, start throwing out terms and different things. How do you balance kind of that discussion of giving a comprehensive exam and doing that, but at the same time not being too, you know, not just talking like a dentist would talk?
It's the hardest thing. I'll answer Jeff, and then Jeff, you can give your input too. But it's the hardest thing as dentists that we, you know, like for whatever reason, we can't get over that like hurdle. But if you think about it, I try to relate it to going, like I just started back with a personal trainer last week after like a 2-year hiatus of carb loading and lots of caffeine.
Those 2 weeks are doing good though. You look good for 2 weeks back in. I think you look pretty good.
It's a filter. It's a camera filter.
Hey, yeah. Hey, you've been working hard to get the system off the ground. So
my time's been spent elsewhere. But so if I sat down with, I mean, really, what do I care about when I'm going to see him? Dude, I just want to look good when I go to Hawaii with my family this summer and not look like an idiot, you know? And so I just want to be able to take my shirt off and not be embarrassed, frankly. And so I don't care about like how to calculate macros and how to, no, I'm just like, dude, tell me what to lift. Tell me what to eat. Like, I just want the results. Patients are the same way. They don't want all the details of, they don't care about materials and body. They don't care about any of that. All they want to know is like, are you going to hurt them? Are you going to make sure they look good and like speak to the, I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about that. Speak to the value. Like that's why I always speak to confidence. It's not about the teeth. It's about like what that confidence gives you in your life and what doors it'll open up.
Yeah. Speak you don't sell teeth. You sell a new smile and confidence. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Personalities that are like, they want to know every detail. They'll tell you, great, then dive deep. But otherwise, the less you talk about the dental side, the more case acceptance you're going to get.
I like it.
I think it's great. You know, the question though that you asked is, did it have more to do with the time and when you are you talking also about like if you see a patient in hygiene that you're trying to, well, heck, I don't even know what it is you were asking, but I.
Well, part of my thing I'm asking too is as I listen is trying to figure out, okay, like, you know, let's take you for example.
Okay.
You know, trying to figure out, okay, how much, because I think what Brian's done really well is he's managing your, and correct me if I'm wrong, but trying to make your time that you're spending very powerful, quick, and whatever. So then, you know, I'm trying to think and look at your situation and say, okay, where are there aspects that are, boom, this is so important that you be a part of? And where are there aspects where you can start either doing things like he's talking about on the front end or delegating or, because how do you, because your time, you know, I love talking about that all the time that, you know, our time is our most valuable asset.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, neither one of us have kids right now and like, you know, and trying to figure out, okay, I don't even know how you do that with family and trying to, and it's only going to get harder. So how do I be just as impactful as you're being currently, but do it with less of your time? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think the question that I have is my practice is probably a bridge between many PPO general practices and perhaps where I see your practice. So what I was asking is, how would you incorporate these ideas in someone who's kind of teetering in between? So you know, one thing that I love is I catch most of my patients after a hygiene appointment. So I know their periodontal status. I know all their, you know, their measurements. How do you suggest kind of implementing some of this idea to help somebody move the direction they want to move, I guess?
I think it's a great question.
Yeah, I'm a little cavalier when it comes to that. And maybe it's not that I go against the grain a little bit, but I'm just like a big believer in, like, if people have taken time out of their day to be there with you, they want to work with you. They want to buy. They want to take care of their mouth. But sometimes I feel like we make it very difficult. You know, Tommy Neighbors in Nashville, close friend of mine, does some awesome things with his perio program. And we have implemented it here in my practice, and it's just been great for us. But one of the things that I constantly tell my hygienist is, like, listen, you need to find out, like, where the patient's at. Because if it's been 10 years and they have perio and they know they have perio, but they're not ready yet to like really fully address it, like you need to find that out before you try to sell them the bacteria test and before you try to sell them $2,000 worth of treatment. And so I think the biggest thing is, and it sounds strange, it's real hard to do in person. It's easier to do virtually, But I start off every consult the same, and I just tell them exactly that. Like, listen, you've taken time out of your day to be here with me. Like, I know you're here because you want to take good care of your teeth. But if I just start going off and telling you all these things that I think you should do without knowing where you're at, like, I don't want to waste either of our time. So tell me where you're at in the process. Like, are you wanting to be more focused on health? Are you looking at, you know, to improve the aesthetics of things? But if you just ask straight up from the very beginning, the amount of like barriers you'll break down for those people is huge. And you'll see them start to talk about things that they wouldn't otherwise. But what'll happen is you'll get a really good idea. They'll say like, listen, I know my teeth are in bad shape, but you know, I'm getting a tax return back. I have $2,000. I just want to get it to go as far as it can. So instead of maybe talking to them and putting them through all the perio first and then never actually getting to experience like the joy of fixing some of the teeth, like just let them have a conversation. Like, yeah, we can do a therapeutic cleaning now, but here's what it's going to mean. You're going to have to come back and address it sometime. But just talk to them like about what it is that they want. That's the biggest thing, in my opinion, that we don't do.
So you're nailing it right now. This is great. The specific question I have that I want you to hone in a little bit further is a lot of these patients we will catch in consults, like after a new patient. And so they haven't necessarily reached out to us for a virtual consult, but you know, they have a little perio and they decide they want something that is going to take longer than the 5 or 10 minutes you need to spend in that visit. So, you know, we've talked about changing ways that we filter patients through, especially new patients through the practice, but it seems like there's still always going to be patients that you don't have time, or you, as you're saying, you probably shouldn't go into a lot of the X's and O's. It sounds like your program would work really well in saying, I just want to find out where you are. I'd like to send you a video, a virtual consult about this subject. So you're following up, you're continuing, but you're not stressed out because you got three places to be and trying to wrap it up with the, you know.
Well, the worst thing we can do probably is go back to hygiene where we have 4 minutes to actually be there and try to present treatment in a way that is going to get them actually move forward with it. That's like a disaster.
No, and you're spot on. And so the difference is, so like, listen how it feels when you explain it the one way. This happened to me 2 days ago, yesterday. Patient who had been talked about in 2008 about veneers on 8 and 9 because of extensive wear. Now she's back. It's 8 years. What used to be just like little incisal chips, full on like lingual voids, like 8 or 10 little patches on there. But for whatever reason, she's got something around the idea of doing veneers and grinding down the teeth. And so I
even though she's already prepped them.
but that's the point, is what we would normally do is we would tell her once again, for the 16th time now, because it's been 8 years and she's been in, you tell her like, oh, you really need veneers. So what I did was different. You know, I just told her, I said, listen, like, you've taken awesome care of teeth. You know something needs to be done there. But for whatever reason, I know you're hesitant moving forward. And usually it's because you don't want to grind down the teeth. Instead of trying to explain it all here right now, like how much materials have changed and why it's different now than it was 8 years ago, like, I'm going to let Mary finish her cleaning. When I have time this afternoon, I'll sit down when I'm fully present. I'll put together a couple photos for you, and then I'll give you my thoughts and ideas of what I think you should do. I'll even give you some costs associated with it. And then now you can go home and talk to your husband, and then you guys can both decide when it makes the most sense to move forward.
So this is where I got to wrap it up for all of us, is in that this program that you're talking about not only grabs and filters patient on the front end, but you could really use this as an instrument every day in your office when you feel, you know, you have another place to be. This is too big of an issue for the even a recall visit when somebody tells you they're ready for a cosmetic change. You know, when you just don't have the time, this seems like a great instrument to reach back out without having to have a full appointment for them to show up and sit there. Like, this video consult is great.
Well, and especially for a practice like yours, where the reality is the majority of those patients are younger and are going to appreciate, they don't mind doing it. Cause what I've done is I've tried to, we've been trying to do this whole planning appointment thing, which we talked about, where I would, at that point, I basically would just, I tell the hygienist, the job is not to, it's not to sell any dentistry. It's to sell them coming back for that planning appointment. But now if I could do that, you know, with a select group of patients that I, you know, I feel like would respond well to that, I can then do that on my own time, not bring them back. Exactly what you're saying. It's a beautiful thing.
That's why I get so excited talking about it. It's like, you do it when you have time, they watch it when they have time, but my system also shows you who's watched it, which is the crazy thing. So think about not just like trying to do a quick consult in the office, but think about how many of your patients have to at least talk to one person or get permission before they just make the financial
decision. Oh, huge.
Almost all of them. If it's younger patients, it's talking to a new spouse. It's talking to a parent or a grandparent. If it's people that have been married for it, it's talking to a spouse. It's talking to their kids. And so it's when you send this off, you can go back in and see, you know, like that one for just the two veneers, for whatever reason, in a day and a half, I looked this morning, it's been viewed by three separate IP addresses. So not only has she watched it, but she sent it possibly to her husband at work, or she sent it to a couple friends. So now not only is my influence of being able to be in front of her and let her see who I am, it's not just impacting her, it's impacting all those other two people that saw it. So now imagine it being like a cosmetic consult, and I go in and see, you know, when I just presented 10 units and I can go and see that eight people have watched this. Now my influence is spreading like wildfire. So it's no secret why things are booked out so far and why I'm going a little crazy right now. But it's when you stop and think about it, it makes complete sense.
So what is the name of this system or your program, and yes, how would people get involved with it?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So no, the website now, kind of the patient facing site that patients go to find a doctor, is called smilevirtualconsult.com. So the easiest way for doctors to find out is on that site. You can go and click a link on there to schedule a consult with Jen, who will walk you through kind of all the benefits of it. There's kind of a more hidden way to find out. For those that like really want to know all the details and benefits, there's the website smilevirtualconsultcourse.com, and that gives like all the details, that gives the pricing, that gives everything. So what I'm thinking, you know, what I've done in the past is like for docs listening to this, like, and I'll get with you guys after, but I'll give you guys a promo code. So any docs listening to this can go on there. They'll get discounted services. I mean, at the end of the day, this is no different than me presenting a big treatment plan. Like, it's money and it's timing. If you feel like you're at that point in your practice where you're ready to take it to the next level, if the timing's right, if it makes sense financially, like, do it, rock and roll, and reach out. We'll see if you're a good fit for what we're doing. If for whatever reason the timing isn't right, though, it's great. From what we've talked about today, if docs went and sat back and just rewatched this and listened to it, they can go and figure out a lot of this stuff on their own and just like crush it. But you know, for those that like don't want to do it all on their own, you know, then I mean, we figured out a way to do it.
First off, thank you for doing that, Doc. That's us and our listeners really appreciate that. So y'all know me, I like want to butt in all the time. So I've been like patiently waiting over here. Two things that I wanted to jump in and say. Okay. I love, absolutely love, love, love the part that we didn't touch on is how it's rewatchable, right? So, or can be watchable at times, because how many times do I feel like they walk out of the room and I've just spent 45 minutes talking to them and they're going to maybe remember 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And then you think about, from not necessarily even a liability standpoint, but a liability standpoint, how great it is that like I can go over, you know, if it's not cosmetic stuff, I can go over kind of like, you know, how their sedation is going to work, you know, what we're going to do, you know, just the process of the day of their surgery. I mean, how beneficial this would be just from my standpoint to let them know, and that way they can watch it over and over and over and really kind of grasp certain aspects of it. Love that. The second thing I was going to say is when we were talking about kind of that presenting nature that you were talking about, Ryan, is I love not putting our value system on the patients. I think that's a big thing that we do a lot of times because we're educated and we understand that gum disease is bad, or that, you know, they would have better confidence and be able to get a date if their teeth look straight. That's our value system. So really the big thing I hear is don't diagnose the patient, don't diagnose the treatment, diagnose their value system. Because one, that's going to save us so much time from a standpoint of me now spending a lot of time trying to diagnose and tell someone they need something that doesn't even want to hear it. And then when I find that person that really wants to hear it and is ready to buy and tells me that, I just all in. Like, and so that to me is two huge points that I'm just sitting over here geeking out about that I had to share.
No, you're spot on. So much of what we do is about human interaction and communication. And what I found, the docs that are just like really doing well at this right now are those that can just be real and talk to people. You know, that doesn't mean if you're a shy doctor, you can't do that. It's almost better because now you can speak to people, and if you mess up, great, just stop it and re-record. You know, it's like you get as many chances as you want to deliver your most powerful presentation to the patient, but there's something about doing it over and over again that gets you more comfortable talking about things with patients. And whatever it is, I mean, some of the most successful dentists I see out there are just like really good communicators. And this is a way to be able to communicate and then fix it if you mess up and do it over and over again. You know, it's crazy. It's why I'm so passionate about it. It's why I'm loving doing it.
Well, you know, before we started this podcast, in my mind, I had imagined you're sitting in front of your Skype computer. They come up, boom, you know, and you've got models and you're talking about their case. And then I started thinking, well, should you have, you know, a female assistant there with you? So, it does, yeah. So no, you know, like, I mean, just all this stuff, I'm thinking, man, these live consults might get weird. You know, I'm excited to hear about it. So the pre-recording is, yeah, there's no other way to do it.
The thing is, if you've ever tried to do a Skype consult, you know, because you've done these interviews, like, who knows, like, how it's going to end up. And sometimes, you know, you get on, I've done a couple podcasts and you get on, everything's smooth. Other times, like, you don't know, like the camera's not working. So think if you had to do that with patients and you don't have a good connection and you have an hour set aside. No, that's miserable. Like, that's why the idea of virtual consult to me could be something that is just a glorified way of talking to somebody when they're not there, or it's a way of like leveraging time. I mean, really, you know, it's a millennial dentist podcast. It's what all millennials want to do, is leverage their time to have a better lifestyle, to make more money, but to be experts at what they do and to like really succeed in business. And this is the, you know, it's just one of the ways to do that, is you're just leveraging those things.
Well, and the beauty of it too is, you know, I see in my own self an area where we as young dentists struggle a lot of times is treatment presentation. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about how I think that young dentists should be recording themselves, you know, when they like do that, and now you really get to do that because you're going to see where you, like, I love it because sometimes I'll be like, and that's where I lost them. You know, like, good. Nope. Right there. Why did I say that? And so it does. I imagine that does that too, is you really perfect and become a really good treatment presenter, and you do it in a way that's approachable, trustworthy, laid back. They get you, you're real, you're personable, instead of this kind of ivory tower in the chair telling them what they need. I just, so many cool things about this.
Do you ever do voiceovers like the Arnold voice, like your lips moving and you just have somebody else? No,
not yet. Yeah. 1.2 is the next software version where,
yeah, that'll be the premium.
Oh my gosh. Doc, this has been fantastic. Absolutely. I love doing this with you. I appreciate you taking the time, man. I mean, I know you're doing so many things with young dentists and you got a family, and to do all this and to help mentor and teach, you don't have to do it. So we really, really appreciate it. And yeah, I've been thrilled with how this has gone.
Absolutely. Wealth of knowledge shared. I really appreciate it. And there's certainly something for everybody.
Well, we will post the show notes and we'll have whatever kind of deal we work out with the promo code and whatnot. Your info, Doc, for people who want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, the easiest way is just probably brian@drbrianharris.com. That's the easiest way. And actually, you know, Instagram is probably even easier, just at Dr. Brian Harris. So, you know, that's the easiest way.
Sully, what's your Instagram?
At the Millennial Dentist, baby.
And I'm at JF Trembley. Or at Smile on Nashville, either one.
Beautiful. Doc, thank you so much again. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your beautiful weekend. And everyone, work smarter, not harder. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.